Hi, and welcome to Zed Games. Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast nationally over the Community Radio Network, Zed Games brings you the latest gaming news, reviews, and interviews from across Australia and around the world.
You're listening to Zed Games, Australia's most beloved gaming radio program. We are coming to you live from the 4ZZZ studio in Brisbane, and you might be listening to us around the nation on the Community Radio Network. I am Lee, and we have, an almost full house, but we've got people back and new people in, and it's all very exciting. Ray is still here.
Yes.
Ray, we can't do without.
Always holding the fort together. Yeah.
You mean you can't get rid of me?
It's more that, like, we don't know how to use the machine and we don't want to have to learn, so...
There's a lot of lights and sliders. I don't know what they do.
Yeah, yes. B Bravo, you are here.
Yes, I am here. Hello.
You've joined us. We enlisted you.
Yes.
In the Zed Games army. Are we an army? A battalion?
Yes.
What's bigger?
Well...
We're an armada.
Okay.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, we'll take that. So welcome.
Thank you.
We're very excited to have you on here.
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. Ms. Candy Payne, you're back.
I'm back.
You were off performing duties for the government, which I assume means, like, assassination.
I would love to say that's what I was off doing. So let's just roll with that, because that sounds far more exciting than just, like, work.
Yep.
Assassination, like secret operative missions. I've been off doing that for like, I don't even know how long. It's been weeks.
It's been a while.
I promise I won't leave ever again. Well, not for a while. Until my next secret operative mission. Da, da, da.
Ray, what are we talking about in this episode?
B, you and I have been playing No Man's Sky.
Yes. There's ships and exploring.
Yep.
And expectations that may or may not have been met depending on... how close you follow the news.
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll be talking about our expectations and how little or how much they were shattered.
Or met.
Or met. Or met. Yes, you'll have to tune in to find out.
Jeez, yeah, way to
ruin the surprise.
Yeah.
Candy, later on you'll be talking about the latest Tony Hawk game.
Yeah, it's been a while. It didn't come out with great reviews. It's already selling for pretty cheap, so I got a copy and have played it. Somewhat.
To get this episode started, the weekend gaming news headlines, Candy. What have we got?
Well, Konami has lifted the curtain on the first Metal Gear game to be released following the departure of series director Hideo Kojima. Metal Gear Survive, scheduled for release in 2017, will be a four-player co-op stealth game set in an alternate universe. A trailer released online this week suggests the game will be a zombie-themed survival horror game.
Man, you know that they have literally no ideas left over there if the first thing they do with this franchise is bolt on zombies and multiplayer co-op survival. Like, wow. They have no designers left.
Yeah, I know this sounds like, okay, Konami just cashing in, that this is some crazy idea that Kojima probably wouldn't approve of. However, four-player stealth co-op game, zombie apocalypse, X-Men stuff going on, portals. I don't know. I'm not writing it off just yet.
They're very optimistic. Look, I have high hopes. It's a good engine that they've got there. Like, all they really have to do is just add this stuff into what already exists for Metal Gear Solid, and it will probably still be a good game. But I doubt it's going to impress terribly many Metal Gear Solid hardcore fans.
Images showing what appears to be a new, slimmer PS4 console were leaked this week. The images, which have since been verified, show a black console featuring the familiar trapezoid shape, though with a much slimmer profile. Sony is yet to comment, but a press conference has been scheduled for the 7th of September, the same press conference at which Sony is expected to officially announce the PlayStation Neo, a more powerful VR-ready console.
It looks nice. They've smoothed off all the points. Now it's all, like, rounded.
Interesting.
Yeah, because it's very sharp. Like, the PlayStation 4 is quite pointy.
Yeah. Mm. You could really kill someone with it.
Yeah, yeah.
If it came down to that.
That's right. I mean, not that you have any, like,
and not that
experience.
I would condone it at all. In fact, I shouldn't have said that. What a fool.
Edit this out in post.
Sony is launching its PlayStation Now game streaming service on PC. This week, the game streaming service, which allows users access to a library of PS3 games for a monthly subscription without having to own the console, launches in Europe, with a North American release to follow. No words on an Aussie release just yet, but a wireless adapter will be available here mid-September, suggesting we may receive the service next month.
Are you excited about that? Anyone?
No.
Not me.
No?
Yeah.
Are there any PS3 games you guys want to play again?
Well, I have a PS3.
That too.
And also... like,
but there are people who are, like, lazy and do not want to get up.
Yeah, like, the PS3 is in the living room, but I'm here in the study.
Exactly.
And I really need to play, I don't know, a Ratchet and Clank of some kind. Yeah. This, I think, is going to require more internet than most of Australia has, like, collectively as well, in order to use it.
I just want to say, as an Xbox person, I don't know that this was the best way to go about it, because we've got, like, backwards compatibility on Xbox, and I have a stack of older games that I would love to go back and play, but just don't have the time for new ones half the time, let alone the ability to go back and just put them straight in or download them, because they're already available there for no you know, you just purchase them as you want. So I can go back and either buy them or put the discs in, whatever. Mm. I don't really use it that often. I was super excited about that as a feature and thought I would use it a lot to get through a backlog of fun things, but just actually haven't.
I guess the difference here is that this is subscription-based, so you have access to the whole catalogue rather than just stuff that you already own. So... like, it's cool. It's very, very cool. Xbox One can play games that you've got on disc or that you have owned in the past.
You can download old ones. Sorry if I didn't make that clear. Like, in the store, you can download games. So there's a lot that I don't own on disc, but I could go back and actually purchase as well now.
Yeah, but, like, this is like a Netflix subscription where you have access to all PlayStation games for a set amount. So that's still kind of a cool deal.
Yeah. I am excited about this because for future generations of people, not hardware, they'll be like, this is sort of like a historical record of the games that are coming out. And if we do this for like games going forward, we won't like lose games to, you know, bad cartridges or bad scratch CDs. Like all the games that are released will be available for everyone in the future.
And unless they're like hindered by requiring some sort of like online connection or interaction with a server, which is also the way things are going. In which case, we will lose those games, even though they're right there.
It's not all good news from Sony, though. The price of a PlayStation Plus subscription, which is mandatory for online play on the PS4, goes up by $10 in the US next month. Despite the increase, no new features or services will accompany the price increase. No word on what this means for Australian subscribers, but it's a good indicator of a local price hike in the very near future.
Is that annually or like...
Yeah.
Okay, right. Well, that's like less terrifying, but also lame. Yeah. Remember when we used to have like free online stuff? Back in the olden days.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
We didn't have internet back then, though.
No, no, we didn't, but they told us it was there.
Solid point.
It was on the back of the box.
Microsoft has announced the Xbox Onesie. Available in white or black, the garment features deep pockets for storing Xbox controllers, arm pockets for mobile phones, a large hood to allow the use of headsets, and grips on the backs of the forearms to prevent slippage while gaming vigorously.
Yes.
That's probably like the least favorite point of mine, the grips on the forearms. How are you positioned that you need them? Or what are you slipping from?
Your arm, like the chair arms?
Yeah, for the chair armrest.
Right.
But how, what, like if you're in a single-seater chair, not on a comfy couch or something?
Guess.
I don't understand.
Like, is it like Velcro? Like, what are we talking about here?
I don't know.
It's like probably ribbed or something, like not slippy.
Or maybe those little grips like you put on kids' socks so they don't fall over.
Those are so cute.
Those little rubber dots or something. Okay. Maybe it's that.
No, you know how Batman has those blades on the back of his...
It'll
be like that. Just dig
it in there.
Like, I'm not going anywhere.
Point is, I'm going to get one in black, but I just don't see the point of the little slippy dots.
Yeah, I totally get one.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a PlayStation guy, but I'll get this onesie.
Aww.
Yeah, I'm a rebel like that.
The controller will fit in the pocket. It's not specific.
Oh, no, they've lined the pocket. If you put a PlayStation controller in there, the whole thing disintegrates.
Damn it.
The Super Nintendo Entertainment System, also known as the SNES, celebrates the 25th anniversary of its US release this week. Selling close to 50 million units worldwide, the console was home to some amazing titles including Super Mario World, Donkey Kong Country, Street Fighter II, and the first Mario Kart game.
I just want to say, in America, we call it SNES. Like, we don't call it SNES for some reason. Yeah. I always called it, oh, yeah, I have my SNES at home.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
That's a lot of syllables.
Yeah. Like, yeah, now that I think about it, it seems better to say SNES.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of quicker to just say Super Nintendo, right?
I think we said either SNES or Super Nintendo,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
interesting.
Yeah.
Nothing makes you feel old like a 25th anniversary of a game console. This Saturday, the 27th of August, the Powerhouse hosts Game On, a pop-up exhibition of locally made games. You can check out the games being developed right here in Brisbane and chat to the people who make them from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Sweet.
That should be fun.
Yeah,
you should
always
get along to that.
Yeah. Mm.
See the games. You're looking at me, Ray.
Yeah, you're going to be there, aren't you?
I will be there, yes. Oh, I will be there in my capacity as the guy from the place. So Defiant Development will be there showing off Hand of Fate 2. But lots of other cool people will be there as well, including our good friends Disparity, who will have Ninja Pizza Girl. I believe Witchbeam are going to be there with Assault Android Cactus. Earthworks will be showing Forts. I'm just listing friends now. This is.
I know, it's funny. You were just going through the name. I was like, oh, yeah, these are all people. Yeah, we know. Friends, come on in. That's great.
Yes, so do come along and check it out. It will be great, and there will be games. And I think if you hang around till later on, there's going to be some open mic stuff where people will be talking about development things, and then there'll even be a bit of a meet and greet in the evening at the bar, and you might be able to chat to developers and designers and see about some sort of mentorship stuff.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, it's packed out. Powerhouse, go along.
And that's it for the Week in Gaming News headlines. Yep. Right now, let's talk about Radiothon. So it's Radiothon this week, Triple Z up until Sunday. And we here at Zed Games are celebrating Radiothon as well. We've got a bunch of game-related prizes. If you want to select Zed Games as your favorite program when you subscribe, you can get onto the Triple Z website, which is www.4zzzfm.org.au for all the details. There are massive prizes available. Some of the ones that the station are giving away include an annual pass to the Tivoli, an annual pass to Dendy Cinemas, a VIP Byron Bay Blues Fest 2017 camping and festival package.
That's awesome.
A wine tour or country prop crawl by helicopter with pterodactyl helicopters.
Get out, I take it back.
Oh my
That's
God, I
really
want
cool.
that.
I want that one.
Oh, I hope those are real pterodactyls. I refuse to accept anything else.
Booze and helicopters go together like cheese and wine, baby.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be cheese there, actually, right?
Yeah. Well, you'd have to.
A 12-month bar tab package from Black Bear Lodge and a travel voucher from My Adventure Store.
Your adventure store.
Yes. Also prizes for musicians and stuff. And if you subscribe today, Wednesday, there's silver prizes available, and you will go into the draw to win a double platinum pass to Oz Comic Con, including meet and greet.
Oh, my God, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All the more reason to subscribe, you know, just drop Zed Games' name in when you're subscribing and stuff like that. It helps.
So if a person were to subscribe, what's the easiest way to do that, Ray?
Head to the Triple Z website.
Yep.
That website again for triplezfm.org.au.
Yep.
/subscribe.
Yes.
There's a subscribe button on the page as well.
Yep.
Click on that.
It's all very
subscribe.
But
easy.
That's not all.
Aha.
Okay, if you are a fan of this program that's airing right now, Zed Games, if you're into video games, we have some extra prizes that we've chucked on to sweeten the pot.
Mm.
What do we got, Lee?
So we should have a bit of a shout out to the people who have contributed to our prize pool, which is Koei Tecmo, P-Cube, Prif, Plantronics, Reboot PR, Hi-Rez Studios, Surprise Attack, Double Jump, Defiant Development, and Witchbeam Games. And the prize list includes a Telltale bundle for the PC of some of the best of Telltale's adventure games, including The Walking Dead Seasons 1 and 2, Wolf Among Us, Game of Thrones, Tales from the Borderlands, and more. We've got copies of Assault Android Cactus on PS4 or PC. We've got copies of Hand of Fate on PC, PS4, or Xbox One. We have Western Press, which is a PC game about a dueling tournament set in the Old West. We've got PC copies of Screensheet, which is a split-screen shooter where players aren't just encouraged to screensheet. They have to because everyone else is invisible, so you have to like see where whatever else's screen looks like to kill them. We've played that before. It's a lot of fun.
That's cool.
We've got Smite packs for PS4 and Xbox One. The Ultimate God pack. Smite is an action game MOBA thing where you get to play as any one of a number of pantheons of gods killing all the other gods. It is magnificent. We've got physical games as well. We've got copies of Nobunaga's Ambition. We've got copies of Romance of the Three Kingdoms, copies of Nitro Blasters, of Homefront, and Mighty Number 9. We've got a Prif PlaySonic 3 headset, a Plantronics Rig 500 headset, Prif Control 3 wireless controller for PS3, and a copy of Firefly the board game. Get on that. And the major prize is that we have a new 3DS XL with the Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer branding on it. It is so sweet. I want to steal it, and maybe I still will. That could still happen. It comes with download codes for Animal Crossing and Mario Kart 7. We are so generous.
Holy moly, I feel like that's the biggest loot we've had in years, like just for us.
I don't know, we always deliver.
Yeah,
we definitely do, but that just list went on and on and on.
Oh, thank you.
Took forever. No, I mean that in a great way. We had heaps, and you spoke really quick.
Oh, thank you. That's great. So what do we have to do in order to subscribe, in order to win this again, Ray?
So you are already subscribing at the Triple Z website.
Mm-hmm. You can call us at the station.
You can call right now. We've got people standing by to take your call.
3252155.
Yeah, and if you can just pledge right now. You don't have to pay until the 12th of September, upon which we will cancel you. Cancel your subscription. You can. You're allowed to remain in the world. Yeah.
You can come in and see us at the station. We've got people here all day long. That's great.
Yes, during office hours anytime until
An
the...
extended radiothon hours.
Until the 28th of August.
Yep.
You can drop in, see us here at Barry Parade, Fortitude Valley.
Yep.
Mm. So yes, once again, subscription fees help keep us on the air and pay for all the equipment and all of the stuff and the repairs of this rapidly dissolving building. We need your help, or else our show will go away along with everyone else's, and that would be irritating because we'd have to figure out what to do with our Wednesday nights again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So please subscribe. Save us.
You're listening to Zed Games on Triple Zed. We'll be right back after this track. So No Man's Sky came out recently. It was probably one of the most hyped games of this generation, being like the modern console generation. Sony certainly put a lot of stock into it, showing big showcases at all their press conferences recently. It's a space exploration game with an emphasis on the exploration. So where other games might focus on politics or combat, this was a game about going to other worlds and just wandering around and checking stuff out, documenting, cataloging, mining, crafting, all that good stuff. And it's out for the PS4 and the Xbox One? No.
And PC.
PC.
No, not, PS4 and PC.
PS4 and the PC.
Oh, man.
Two varying degrees of success, I think.
Yeah.
I heard the PC version did not come out very well at first.
Yeah, so what did you play it on?
I did PS4.
Yep.
So probably won't get any mods or any of the fun stuff that people are probably doing, but it runs smoothly? Question mark? I've only had one crash, so that's exciting. Apparently people have gotten multiple crashes, so yeah.
Yeah, the launch certainly has been blighted a little bit by reports of technical issues, especially on the PC. And there is also a little bit of disappointment on the feature front. But let's just start at the beginning. You start off marooned on an alien planet.
Mm. I kind of like that they kind of drop you off and don't tell you anything, you know, and that you have these meters that are going and it's just sort of like, hey, go just, this is how you use the mining equipment, go find this stuff to repair your ship. And I like that.
Yeah, it's a lot like survival games like Minecraft, Don't Starve in that way. And I'm thinking the Minecraft comparisons might keep popping up throughout this review a little bit because at its core, No Man's Sky is about obtaining materials and creating technology and stuff using those materials. And like, for example, you start off with a really dodgy mining tool, which after accumulating lots of minerals and stuff like that, you can upgrade.
Well, first you have to find the upgrades in broken down ships. And also when you go into building, sometimes there'll be like a multi-tool little dealy at the side that you can look at and it'll give you like a new thing. But then, yeah, you then have to build that physical thing as well, which is okay. It's fine. But like some of them, because there isn't much of a explanation for some of this stuff, it's sort of like, why do I need this? So I think there's things like plasma balls and like grenades that you can use, but I'm not in fights that much for me to care about like using them, even though they are good for apparently mining, but I don't know. I don't use the grenades.
So that sort of game mechanic is the core of what you're doing, but really the kind of the flagship of this game, the hero of the game, is the procedural generation that they've used to craft this galaxy. So much like our own universe was set in motion by certain scientific laws and then sort of randomized and just like came into being through to the process of natural selection, randomization, and other scientific forces. This game has kind of been just created in the same way. Like the universe wasn't crafted by a designer or coded by an engineer or anything like that. It was, there's been a certain like rule set that's put in motion, and the game has sort of populated itself with planets and asteroids and suns and things like that.
And animals, don't forget the animals, because those are interesting as heck. Have you guys, there's this video where it's the Jurassic Park theme. Have you guys seen
yes.
that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so those are one of those creatures. It's like a big-headed T-Rex with like this small chicken body that basically pops up after, you know, you get the beautiful sweeping 2014 E3 introduction. Mm-hmm. And then you get this chicken T-Rex. And you can definitely tell that the artists are, or the way that the game was made was, okay, this is a head, you know, and this is an arm and this is a body. And then the computer goes, okay, and then randomly spits it out when you get to the planet, which is okay.
Yeah. So the way the procedural generation works is it's really awe-inspiring in some cases and just really bland and weird in other places. Yeah. Like you'll come to a planet and it'll be like yellow grass, neon blue sky, weird spiky fauna, and crazy chicken dinosaurs running around everywhere. And it'll be like, wow, that's insane. That's crazy. You know, but then you'll go to another planet and it'll just like look like someone vomited. And there's nothing. It's just like a barren landscape. And I don't know. It's just not as interesting.
Now, keeping in mind that they have, 18 quintillion planets or something that they've generated.
Yeah.
And they've no real control over what you're going to find in there. Do you think that it's valuable having those kind of dull gray planets in between the awe-inspiring ones? Like if every planet was like giant leprechaun-faced insects that scream at you in like jelly fields with reverse gravity, would you kind of find yourself suddenly underwhelmed by insanity after like your sixth or seventh crazy planet?
Yeah, I think definitely the fact that it because it is randomly generated and because there are so many planets and you're exploring many of them for the first time, it does lend that specialness. Mm-hmm. So when you find something that's really cool and you're the first person to do it, it does lend itself to an aura of like awesomeness, like wow, this is really cool. And I guess like having really bland, sparse, dull planets that look like vomit is the flip side of that. You know, to have the interesting stuff, you've got to sort of take the 9 quintillion planets that are maybe not so interesting as well.
Like, I'm sure we could like come up with a suitable analogy using suburbs from our own beloved home city, but we shouldn't, or we will get beaten up by residents of the places that are being represented by the bland vomit planets. So don't do that.
When I was like cruising around in my spaceship, there were some times when I was like, and landing on planets and just checking the place out. There were times when I was just thinking, wow, this is great. And knowing that I was the first player to go there, it was really cool as well. Because, you know, space exploration is, it's my jam. Like, I love movies about space exploration. I love games about space exploration. And the fact that this wasn't like a space opera like Mass Effect, it was all about just going to planets and checking it out and having that kind of explorer's style gameplay. I thought that was really, really cool. Unfortunately, though, the mining mechanics and the core gameplay, the minute-to-minute gameplay, sort of impedes that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll be checking out a planet, and all of a sudden, all I want to do is check out that mountain over there and just see what caves are under there. But then my life suit will need some mineral, or my mining gun will deplete, or the atmosphere will be too toxic, and I'll have to go and like farm these minerals that are just like on the surface of the planet for like 15 minutes just to get to that mountain, when all I want to do is just check out the place, you know. So I've found out that like all these like mini mechanics are just, they get in the way of what the game is like so special for.
So you basically just want a game that's like a giant map of the universe and you can just go look at things but don't really want to have to do anything.
Well, that wouldn't be too exciting, which is why they put this like the mining stuff in.
They put menial tasks in.
Yeah.
Do you panic when you're too far away from your ship?
Definitely.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a hindrance or if it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's because of the inventory. Like, you only have 4 or 5 slots free for collecting stuff, and you can collect all of these different minerals and materials and stuff, and you just want to get them all so you can make the coolest stuff and you want to stockpile them. But with only 4 or 5 slots in your inventory, you're going to have to like constantly just ditch stuff, and you have no real way of knowing at the start of the game what is important and what's not.
Yeah, like you can expand it, but it takes a lot more money than you think it does. And then you have to go, oh, every time I discover something, I can go into this like other menu to then pay some weird research person, or they pay me for finding all of this stuff, and that's how I got a bunch of my money in the beginning. Not even talking about like the stock system that the game has itself.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is. Yeah, so I don't know, like as much as I want to like love this game, there are certain things that, I don't know, pull me out of the experience. And that inventory thing is one thing, just because it gets in the way all the time. Like, I don't know, if you had a larger inventory, if I didn't have to spend most of the time like ditching stuff that I don't know or I don't know if it's like valuable or not.
Do you need to actually be constantly gathering stuff? Like, is that just, you know, your usual video game instincts of having to hoover up everything because it's probably valuable, or is it just like, you know, is it the small inventory there to tell you you actually don't need to hold on to things, you just need to have a handful of bits?
I think the small inventory is there as a deliberate impedance so you have a goal to go for. Because that's what you kind of have to do. Like, you start off with a small inventory, you have to upgrade your exosuit to get a larger one, you have to upgrade your ship to store more minerals on it and things like that. And I think it's just a way of sort of artificially kind of annoying you to give you another carrot to chase, kind of thing.
That is really lazy design.
Yeah, so I don't know, like the game, the crafting system while serviceable, isn't anywhere near as deep or exciting as ones in Minecraft, Don't Starve, other games like that. Mm. But you have to walk and fly a really long way to get them. Like, I'll be walking around the surface of the planet. You walk pretty slowly. You can run for a short time.
Sort of. It's sprinting. It's not running.
But you're given, like, estimated travel times of these locations that when you put your cursor over them. Sometimes it's, like, 5 minutes. Sometimes it's 40 minutes.
What? Oh, I had one that was 6 hours because I'm pretty sure it's on the other side of the planet.
Yeah. Now, you can go back to your ship and fly there, and that'll cut down the time. But that takes a long time. Like, if you walk 10 minutes away from your ship, there are places where you can call your ship to you, but they're very few and far between. Mm-hmm. Other times you have to spend like 20 minutes to walk back to your ship just so you can stash your supplies or go somewhere else. And
when you're landing your ship, like as you're coming into land, is there enough detail that you can see like what's around you and be like, oh shit, shouldn't land there, I should go somewhere else where there's things? Or not really, you just have to kind of land and take it?
Yeah, there's definitely like there's definitely buildings and like different beacons that you can see. Mm. And usually there's a bunch of open area that you can land in. So it's not like it's only trees. There are a lot of open areas. The buildings are pretty easy to see. So you can fly around for a bit and go, oh, okay, there's a manufacturing. There's got to be something here. So,
okay.
Yeah. And question marks also pop up on the map as well. They don't tell you what specifically is there, but they kind of let you know that something is there. So you can fly towards it if you want as well.
Something's there. It's a question mark. Oh, what is it?
Exactly.
That doesn't help me.
Razor and B, you have been talking about the recently released PC and PS4 spacefaring game No Man's Sky, and you've kind of been like dragging it through the dirt a bit. Jeez, for something so whimsical, you guys have got a lot of beef.
A part of it has to do with expectations, I think.
Right.
Like, if this game in a vacuum, it's not all that bad. But I mean, when you
look, it's set in space. It is already in a vacuum.
I mean, technically, it's from an indie studio that just happens to have the backing of Sony. So, yeah. Like, having them develop something with a quintillion planets that you can go on the planet and then just go into space without a loading screen, that's kind of impressive.
No, that is impressive. Yeah. Don't put a qualifier on
okay,
that. That's
good.
Amazing.
It is super, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is 15 dudes who, like, their entire back catalog up to designing a universe you can explore however you want, made games about riding around on a little motorcycle. You know, this is a significant jump for them. But I do get the point that they've had all of this significant marketing push from Sony. Sony has pushed them like they would any AAA game. Which means that there are a lot more people paying attention to it and a lot more people expecting it to be a AAA game, thinking that it will be all things for all people, and that it comes from a much smaller studio with, I guess, I want to say simpler ambitions, but they've definitely got a very set concept of what this game is in their head, and that's not going to align with everyone. So, like, how do you incorporate all of that into your summary? And I'm so glad I don't have to review this at all. Good luck. Dang.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think a part of it is, okay, like you said, it has the backing of Sony. It's been hyped up like a mofo. Mm-hmm. And another aspect is the price point.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spend too much time talking about like the price of games and things like that, but it was $60, which is around $90 if you want it. And that means that it's competing with every other full-price AAA game, like from Blizzard,
yep,
from EA, mm-hmm, from Activision, whoever. It's going up against the biggest blockbuster games that have been released. And when you put it against those games, it's obviously an inferior experience.
Well, like, how many quintillion stars does the most recent Assassin's Creed game have? Mm. That's my question to you, Ray.
Well, in answer to that, I would say it's like a vast ocean that is ankle deep.
Right.
So there's a universe to explore, but there's
excellent
only there's not that much to do in it.
Yeah.
By the time you hit your second or third planet and you're farming iron and carbon and zinc and all those same minerals, and the T-Rex has a rectangular head instead of a square head, you're like, how much longer can I play this game for and still get new experiences out of it, when the whole point of the game is exploration and finding new things?
Mm. I mean, they do have like little sections where you can, like they have quests. There's the Atlas one, and then there's just getting to the center of the planet. So I guess that makes it a bit interesting, and they'll probably add more like alien species in the future so you can learn those languages. But yeah, it's kind of like, you're just farming, especially if you're following some of the quests, you're farming just to get to that, to get to the center quest, I guess.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, B, how do you feel about the game overall?
I like it as, if I think of it as a small indie studio made a game where you can explore space and they have a few quests for you to do and that's about it, then I like it. But when you put it into the AAA package, then yeah, it kind of leaves you hanging a lot.
Yeah. Like, for me, there were definitely some moments that I was experiencing and thinking, hey, this is really cool and I haven't experienced this before. Like, the sense of wonder and arriving on a planet for the first time, seeing a moon in the distance and just getting in your spaceship and blasting off and eventually hitting that moon and being able to walk around on it. That stuff is really cool. Unfortunately, the game itself, what you're doing from minute to minute, it's just not all that enthralling. It doesn't live up to the... you know, a universe of fun. It's not that.
That's a good tagline for it, I guess, in a way. Not a universe of fun.
18 quintillion stars, and not every one of them is a laugh riot.
I mean, I'm enjoying it, but I don't know for how long I'm going to. Unless they do something really soon, add some sort of like new content to it. Maybe another week.
Yeah. I know the devs are working pretty hard on patches, firstly to sort out the technical issues that have been plaguing it, but I think that maybe they might throw back in some of those features that were hyped up in some of the promotional material but left out in the final product. So we'll see how it goes. This game could be really awesome in a little while, in a few months or years, but as it is now, it's a little bare bones.
You're being really nice.
Or really cruel.
We've been talking about No Man's Sky for the PC and the PS4. We'll be right back on Zed Games after this track.
Candy,
yeah.
Now they put out a Tony Hawk game this year. They hadn't had one for a while. No one liked this Tony Hawk game at all.
Correct. Yeah, let's be honest. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5 got an average of like 3 out of 10 on most scores and reviews. The reasons being, it is not a good game.
Right.
Like,
review finished.
The end, and I'm done, and it's nearly 7, we're out of here. Yeah. No. Look, it's...
You're not getting paid for that, you know that, right?
Well, like, I said 5 words about it, it's not a good game. It's... Okay, so here's my thoughts. The reason it's not a good game is because the graphics are pretty crap. Yep. It's a massive release. Clearly a lot of really big backing sponsors behind this because, like, that is in your face no matter what you're doing. And on every single level, you can see who the sponsors are and what watch brands they've got and boards and got whatever. I don't care for sponsors. So they're all featured. It's very, very in your face. They should have had a lot of money to do something pretty amazing. Looking at this, I feel like I'm playing a game... It should be a backwards compatible game because it should have been released like 6-7 years ago, graphics wise. Like, I'm not even kidding. This is about the quality of my Xbox Classic. That's being pretty generous to it. However, however, I get to play as a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, and I am loving this game.
Wait, what?
No one told me that
Not
Ninja
even
Turtles
kidding.
Were in
Are
this
game. Are you in
game?
The sewers? I am in the sewers in one particular level.
What?
I have broken through to, like, level 5, which is not an easy feat because the scores don't add up. Like, for example...
Because you got to keep playing the game in order to get to level 5, which most people didn't do.
Yeah, but I have. Look, the game in a nutshell has, you know, what, 10 different levels, something like that. You only reach them based on scores from previous levels. You earn stars based on completing missions. Those stars then unlock the next level, right? So I've got like 5 or so that I've opened up. One happens to be in the sewers, which is pretty funny because I've been skating around as a turtle, Michelangelo, because who else are you going to be on a skateboard, right? So
this I gotta see.
Yeah, but I don't know that it's on PlayStation because my partner's playing this on PlayStation at the same time and it is not there for him, and he's gone through all of the updates, cannot access a turtle. It is purely on the Xbox. So I don't know why they've got this awesome release, but you get to choose from all four of them. Anyway, the game has some other features, you know, like you can build your own park, you can play other parks that skate parks that people have created. Like, that's all done and dusted. That bores me to tears. I'm not an architect, I'm not a skater, so I really know nothing about the mechanics of building a park and what would be fun for other people, so I'm not going to attempt it, nor do I wish to play other people's, because they're probably not that great either if they're in the same boat as me. So, that being said, getting through the levels, very repetitive. It's all very same-same, regardless of the scenery. You know, you collect ice creams and you deliver them to a van. You collect marshmallows and you deliver them to a bonfire. I know you collect donuts and give them, well, you know, you get the point. Like, you're always collecting something and delivering it, or you're skating through hoops as fast as you can, or you're doing trick kicks or something, trick flips, whatever, to, like, shoot targets. It is the same tasks in every level, just with a different name. So the tasks are not even that fun, but there is something about a game that has zero storyline and literally just encourages you to come back and kick your own ass that makes you want to keep playing. Like, it's not very pretty to look at. It is really poorly designed, I have to say. It is glitchy as hell. Like, the amount of times I've been, I don't know, grinding around the top of a pool and I get stuck in midair and I'm still racking up points, but I'm not moving. I think, well, that's cool. But, you know, then, of course, he falls over and I lose 128,000 points. Not cool. Like, it's really glitchy. I'll come off a ramp and I'll fall headfirst into the ground and I look like an emu or something. I've got no head. I don't know. It's full of those kinds of really obvious mistakes. And they have released a patch for it and that has not done anything. So, you know, if you can put up with that, then it's actually super fun.
Is this game $2.50?
Look, I wouldn't be paying top dollar for this. If you can get a second-hand copy somewhere, definitely give it a go. Like, if you just want to kill an hour or so and not get involved in a game where you have to keep your head down and stay focused and you just want to play for a little bit of time. I liken this to a game that you might play on your phone while on public transport. Like, you know, 15, 20 minutes. You don't really want to invest too much more time than that in one hit. But yet, I think I have.
Yeah. Does Tony Hawk have, like, a monopoly on this console skating game market? Like, are there other better skating games out there?
There was Skate.
Yeah, Skate.
The game Skate.
Skate was great.
That was really great. The problem, like, this has a lot of nostalgia for me, I think, because it's been a while since I've played a game like this, you know, where you have to collect the skate letters, you have to perform combos, you have to collect, like, the hidden DVD, which, by the way, it's a VHS. Like, it's...
Kids even know what that is now?
No, I know. They're like the hidden VHS. And I thought, wow, kids won't know what they're looking for. They're probably looking for the letters VHS.
Oh, they're looking for... They know to look for, like, a box, and that's about it? Like, they don't understand what it
box
is?
Box with two circles, like, guys.
Why is Tony Hawk trying to get me to collect cereal?
Look, it's not terrible. I wouldn't give it a score higher than what other people have given it, but I've obviously been playing it for much longer than anyone else that has given it those scores because I'm really having fun. My only complaint is the score system itself makes zero sense. For example, if I'm in a mission where the goal is to go through, like, hoops as fast as you can while performing tricks to build your multiplier and get more points, right? I don't understand. In the top right corner, it's adding up my points for that mission, but down at the bottom, it's telling me how many points I'm actually getting for all the tricks that I'm doing, but they don't match. So in the top right, I'm getting, like, 50, 60 points, and the score is 125,000. Down the bottom, it's telling me I've just pulled off some, like, epic grind and, like, a whole bunch of kickflip tricks, and then I've, like, held the nose of my board and done all of this shit, and I've got, like, 400,000 points. But that's not matching up to the mission.
There could be some multiplier or some other hidden score thing.
Listen, if you were the designer of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 and you're listening in, you can call us on 325-2155 and clear this issue up.
Yeah, like, literally, you just needed one score system. I don't know why I'm looking at two different scores, because I see what's happening down below and I get super excited, and then I look at my mission score and I'm failing miserably. And it's really hard to get stars and move on to next levels. it's actually quite difficult.
So, Candy, with 1 minute to spare, how would you sum up this terrible, terrible game that also incidentally has the cool Ninja Turtles in it?
If you're on Xbox and you can get Michelangelo or any of the four turtles, definitely get it if you can find it for under $29. Anything more than that, really not worth your time. There might be something better, but it's fun.
All right, guys, we're out of here for another week. Here's a track to play us out. This one's by Null Sleep. It's called Supernova Kiss. Catch you guys next week.
Bye.